for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, July the 8th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook, Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening. Your love for your mercy. Boy, without that love and mercy, none of us would be here tonight. So, Lord, thank you that you loved us and you shed your mercy upon us. You said your mercies are new every morning. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your people that are here. And thank you for the brethren, Lord, that have come, Lord, from Mexico and Cuba. We thank you, Lord, for them. And we pray for Cuba right now, Lord. We lift up that nation. We pray, Father, that you will move by your power and your spirit and your anointing in the nation of Cuba, Lord. God, we ask you to save many souls. God, save many there, we pray. Pour out your spirit and your anointing, we pray. God, move supernaturally. Bring salvation and healing and the baptism and deliverance and, God, the kingdom word to the people of Cuba. We thank you, Father, for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. You know, I thank God for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let me know we need the anointing more and more in our life. And without the anointing, we cannot make it. Praise the Lord. But with the anointing, we can make it. Can you say amen? Praise God. You know, the anointing means three things. It means to pour over, it means to smear on, and it means to rub in. God wants to rub it into you. Amen? He wants to smear it on you and in you, and he wants to pour it on you and in you as well. So I thank God for his precious anointing. That anointing breaks every yoke. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's been some yokes broke around here this week. God has done a wonderful work in many people here in this camp. Thank God for all the ministries that were here, and some have left and some are still here. And so Brother Johnson's going to minister tomorrow night. We know that God will give him a word that you need to hear. And I want to encourage you to come and hear the others that will be speaking as well. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we want to look at verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus, our Lord, is telling us something here. And I believe we need to listen to what he says. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, notice he's saying here to us that we can be deceived. There is a spirit of deception in the land. But I want to go further. There is a spirit of deception in the church. And God wants to expose deception wherever it's at. Can you say amen? And we know there is a spirit of seduction and deception that's working even in the people of God in different places. But he said, you can be deceived. And Jesus said, many will come. Many will come. And he said, they'll come, notice, in my name. They'll use even my name. They'll come in my name saying, I am Christ. Or, I am the Anointed One. Well, I mean, to know that you've got anointing in you, if you know the Lord and been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and God's not going to let you be deceived if you'll listen to the one that lives in you. Can you say amen? And so they're going to say, I am Christ, or actually the Greek says, I am the Anointed One, and shall deceive many. Now he said that's going to happen, that has happened, that is happening, and shall yet happen. There are going to be people deceived in this end time that's going to go with another spirit. Hallelujah. There is a true Holy Spirit and there is a false spirit in the land.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to follow the false. I want to know Jesus and I want to follow him. And if anything false in me, I want God to show me and I want to get delivered from it. One of the spirits that's hard to be delivered from is deception. And there are areas in people I've seen it many times in people. They have been deceived in certain areas, and it's very hard, very difficult to set them free because they think they're right. There is a spirit of error, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4. And Peter warns us not to follow the error of the wicked. And so God is warning us tonight. Be careful. I believe God has given us a message tonight for a reason. Because maybe next week you may be encountered what we're talking about. You never know. We do not know. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many know some brethren have gotten off?
Amen.
Come on, hear me now.
Amen.
Some have gotten off. They followed false brethren.
Amen.
There is a doctrine in the land that is false. I want to tell you what it is. It is ultimate reconciliation. It is not from God. It is from the pits of hell. But God does not want us to follow that direction. God, now, they're good people that's got off into that. Please hear me. But God is against that doctrine. And I'm against it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not just picking on that anybody here, but that doctrine is terrible. It's a terrible, devilish doctrine that destroys mankind. I remember I was preaching in Fayetteville one time, and as I preached there, another man was preaching, and this man would come one week, and I would come one week. And so finally, the man got up and began to preach on ultimate reconciliation. And the man who had the church there challenged him and told him that he's welcome to come and preach, but he could never preach that doctrine again. Because he had a church before, beautiful church, built it with all of his own money, and it was a growing church, and that doctrine came in and destroyed the church, and everybody went different directions. So he learned pretty quick it was wrong. But there's many things in the land we've got to be aware about today. Come on, help me now. Now look in chapter 24, verse 11. 24:11. Jesus said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, we've had the money prophets. How many know they're in the land too?
Yeah.
I'm talking about false money prophets. All they want is your money.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Amen.
Which is the spirit of the Canaanites. I'm not talking about taking up offerings. I'm talking about people who want what you got the wrong way. There is a spirit of covetousness and lust and greed. And how many know God doesn't like beggars?
Amen.
That spirit I'm talking about.
Amen.
God doesn't want us to beg. And I don't see anybody around here begging. But the thing is, I've been in meetings and I've seen it on television and other places. God is against the spirit of the Canaanite. And God's going to cut off that Canaanite spirit, Zechariah 14 tells us, in the day of the Lord. You ever read that? That's the peddlers, come on,
Amen.
The traffickers and the merchandisers. God's going to cut it off. Hallelujah. And God's going to cut off those who love money. America's God is money. The church's God is money. Laodicea's money. And there's nothing wrong with money if you use it right. The love of money, come on, is wrong. I mean, it takes money to run this campground. And God will supply and meet the need of the camp in any place, any church, any group that's moving in the anointing, moving in God. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about beggars and pleaders. Come on. Now, look down to chapter 24. He says something here. But I want to go back to where we're at. False prophets are going to rise to deceive many. We've had the money prophets. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some real false prophets getting ready to come out of the closets. I'm telling you, there's some false prophets coming out and going to do things and say things that we have never yet seen. But how many know if there's false prophets, God's going to raise up the true? Because the devil, come on, always counterfeits the truth. Isn't that right? And God's going to raise up his prophets in America as well as other places in the land, in the world. Hallelujah. Now, look over in chapter 24. Look in verse 23. Jesus said these words to us. He said, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false anointings. False anointings. You know, we think the anointing has to do with volume, but it has nothing to do with volume. I mean, old guy can preach till his neck bulges out, he gets red in the face, he sweats, and jumps every pew in the place, but I don't mean he's anointed. Come on, help me now. And he says here in this verse, the verse we just read, verse 23, verse 24 now, brother, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I mean, oh, none of us have all the discernment we need. But we need much more than what we have. And we need one another. I mean, oh, sometime your brother and sister can see errors in you that you can't see. Come on, help me now. And I can see some errors in my brother and sister maybe they can't see. And we need to not only warn one another, but we need to receive correction when we are wrong. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 26. He said, wherefore, if they say to you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So right before Jesus comes, there's going to be a step up of false Christ, false anointings, and false prophets. Next verse, here it is. This is not the rapture in verse 28. Maybe you were taught that. Wheresoever the carcass is, that's a dead carcass. I mean, oh, God has nothing to do with death. Where there's a dead carcass or corpse, there will the vultures be gathered together. God's going to gather the vultures. God's going to gather the corpse or the dead body of these antichrists and these false prophets. But I'll guarantee they'll not be in the arena with the righteous. Can you say amen? Now look in Mark 13. Look in Mark 13, please. Verse 6. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Then we go down to verse 21. He said, then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For false anointings and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders. Now notice, to what? To seduce. The spirit of seduction. To seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Well, Matthew said deceive. Mark said seduce. All right, now turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. Hope you got your Bible. Hope you got fingers. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. Notice, little children, it is the last time. Well, if John said it 2,000 years ago, how many know we're in it? Amen. And we're at the end of the end. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Now, Antichrist means against and in place of. It is Antichrist. It is against the anointing. It is against the anointed one. Whether that's the head and that's the body. Are you hearing me? And it says here in this verse, he said that Antichrist shall come, even now. He said, are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it's the last time. Now notice, they went out from us. They went out from the church, but they were not of us. You ever met any of those? For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of all of us. Now, verse 20, but you have an unction. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know what? All things. Now, look at verse 26. These things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you. So, John is saying you can be seduced just like Jesus said it. We can be deceived. We can be seduced. And he said, I'm writing this to you concerning them that would come and seduce you. Next verse. But the anointing which you have received of him abides, remains, continues in you. And you need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide or remain or continue in him. So there is an anointing in us that will show us the false from the true. Hallelujah. I mean, we've got to rely heavily on the Holy Ghost in this end time. Because there is false Christ, there is false anointings, there is false fire, there is strange fire, there is wild fire, and there is the true fire. Look in Psalm 74. Let's look at it. Psalm 74. I got all these notes. Better put it here at the back. Psalm 74. I cleaned my Bible up pretty good today, though. Praise the Lord. Psalm 74. Look in verse 4. Psalm 74, verse 3. Excuse me, verse 3. Now look at this verse. He said, lift up thy feet. How many know there's a feet company God's raising up? Oh, he is, Bernadine. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual ruins or desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. How many know today this building is not the sanctuary? This is a sanctuary today. Now, back in the Old Testament, there was a natural building. Hieron, there's a word called Hieron in the New Testament. And this is the Naos. But he said he's done wickedly in the sanctuary. He said, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their end signs for signs. The enemy's got signs. Well, we got some exit signs to the bathroom. But we need, come on. But in this place, how many know there's some signs happening? Come on. They're casting out devils. People get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. People get healed. Thank God. But you can't say that every place. Come on, help me now. Hallelujah. Their people need to get saved every day, filled with the Holy Ghost and demons cast out wherever people can go. But it ain't happening, is it? Now look at verse 5. A man was famous according as he lifted up the axes upon the thick trees. Notice thick trees, and we're trees of righteousness. But I'll tell you something, devil's got a chainsaw, and he wants to cut us down, doesn't he? But now they break down the car work thereof at once with axes and hammers. And here it is, they have cast fire. This is a false fire, strange fire, wild fire, false anointing, into thy sanctuary. And it's still happening. Please hear me. There's prophetic words that's not from the Holy Ghost. There's words of knowledge, supposedly, that's not from the Holy Ghost. It's familiar spirits many times. Come on, help me now. Amen. And many times voices come, you think your loved ones are speaking to you. It's the devil. Hallelujah. Come on, help me now. People go out and listen, pray to the loved ones laying out on the graveyard. How many know that's not God? It's necromancy. Amen. And now, I know we go through a period of grief when we lose loved ones. Don't misunderstand me. We all know that. But that period just lasts for a short time. If it goes beyond that, how many know there's a spirit of grief comes in people? And to cause them to do that. But here he said, notice, he says here, they've cast fire into the sanctuary. They've defiled by casting down the dwelling place of the name, of thy name, to the ground. And they said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. Maybe the building's still standing, but that false fire, that strange fire, that false spirit is among the sanctuary. Amen? Listen to what he says. We see not our signs. And many churches that say they're Pentecostal charismatic could put that over their door. We don't have any more signs. Huh? But how many know if people get down and start praying, crying out, God's going to put some signs in their place? There is no more any prophet, and yet God has promised to raise his prophets up. But even if he does, many churches don't want the prophets to come in. Come on, they're a threat to the church. They're a threat to the shepherds. They're a threat to the ministers. They're a threat to the elders. They're a threat to people. And yet, we'll not prosper if we do not believe God and his prophets, whoever God's raising up. Not the prophet, but prophets. God's raising prophets up. Let me tell you, God don't have no one special prophet. He's using many prophets. Please hear that. I believe that. Now, he's going to use many prophets, and I believe the prophets are going to speak the same thing as Jack said last night. The people of God as well. They're going to see eye to eye. They're going to flow together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to be part of that people, don't you? And so he said, there's no more prophet. Neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. But I tell you, you get a prophet from God, and he starts speaking of the anointing. How many know God will reveal a lot of secrets to us that we need to hear and know? Oh God, how long shall the adversary approach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why? Why? You ever ask God why? Why withdrawest thou thy hand? Notice, even thy right hand. Pluck it out of thy bosom. How many know Jesus came out of the bosom of the Father? Huh? But I want to tell you something else. He's raising up another one. Now, how many knows another one coming out of the bosom of the Father? Come on, the son of the right hand, that Benjamin company. Amen? So this is going to go on in the sanctuary until God raises up that right-hand ministry. And he's in the process of doing it now. How many know deliverers are coming up on Mount Zion? Amen. And God right now, is bringing forth deliverance in the earth. Not just out there somewhere. It's happening now. Thank God. Now turn over with me to another scripture in just a minute. Praise God. But because of the claim of this anointing, see, many are going to be deceived. Isn't that right? Because of those who come and say they are the Christ or the anointed one, many are going to believe it and they're going to be deceived or seduced. Hallelujah. Well, I'm God's man of faith and power. Well, if you are, how many know you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit? And you're going to see the real anointing that will cause people to glorify and lift up and exalt Jesus. Not a man, not a denomination or anything else. How many know true prophets are going to point you to Jesus, not to themselves, not to their pocketbook, not to anybody or anything except Jesus. Hallelujah. And they're going to expose the false in the land. Thank God. Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And look at verse 1. The Bible says in this verse, Paul said, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband." I mean, no, that's Jesus. "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, how many know God wants to work first in you, purity? You and I. Secondly, power. And then he wants to perfect us. Purity, power, and lead us into perfection or maturity. Hallelujah. Now, Paul here is a father. Here's a father ministry warning the people of God. I believe we need some father ministers, don't you? Yeah. I believe we need some Pauls being raised up. Come on, with young Timothys. We need some Miriams to watch over baby Moses. Come on. We need some mothers of Israel in this hour. But here's a father ministry, and he sees a danger zone. And notice what he said. He said in verse 3, "I fear, lest by any means." Notice the word, any means. Devil take advantage of you any way he can. If you allow it. "I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled," notice that word, beguiled there, means deceived or seduced. "As he beguiled or seduced Eve," and Eve's a picture of the church, "through his subtle ways, so your minds," and where's the battle at? Right here. Right between our ears. "So your minds should be corrupted from something. The simplicity that is in Christ." Now, I hear a lot of people using that word simplicity. But that word simplicity simply means sincerity. God wants us to be sincere in what we believe and what we do. It also means, sincerity without dissimulation or self-seeking. That word sincerity, it means not to be self-seeking, but to be sincere without dissimulation. Generosity, it means liberality, it means singleness, means a lot of things. Now, listen to what he says. "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus..." Well, I'm going to go back to verse 3. He's talking about Eve. He's talking about the devil attacking the mind, not only of Eve, but us. The thoughts came to Eve first about the fruit, and then her hand partook. What they faced in the garden, we're facing now. Are you hearing me? But God's also putting his thoughts in our minds. Come on. We're going to do right if we got his mind. "If he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." I want you to notice, he said there's another Jesus, there's another spirit, there's another gospel. There is a false Jesus, There is a false spirit. There is a false gospel. And I hear a lot of gospel preached, but a lot of times it's just milk toast. I said it's milk toast. How many know people have to be warned by God? I believe prophets warn people of God. Amen? And I believe we have to be warned by God, whoever God's using. Now, look here. Look in John 5. John 5. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 5. And look with me in verses 43. He said, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. There are many receiving the wrong Jesus. Are you hearing me? Because there is another Jesus. He said, I'm coming in my Father's name. You don't receive me. But there's another one coming in his own name. You're going to receive him. Hallelujah. And there is a spirit of Antichrist. People will embrace thinking it's Christ. Isn't that right? Then look in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Hallelujah. You know Antichrist. It said, who is the liar? How many know Antichrist is the liar? Isn't that right? Now, look here in chapter 4, first of all, then I want to flip back to chapter 2 in just a minute. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's the faith of Jesus. How are they going to depart from the faith of Jesus? Giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, seducing spirits come to open you up for other spirits. They seduce you, open you up, and they come right in. And doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Look at verse 3, forbidding to marry. Do you know it's wrong to tell people they can't get married if God's put them together? Now, if it's wrong, I mean, if it's, you know by revelation it wouldn't be right. If somebody's married the wrong person, you'd have to warn them. But here he's saying, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. And so I throw that in for a certain reason. I won't go into that now. Go and check it. But I have a reason. Now, go to 1 John. Go back to 1 John. Go to 1 John. I said Timothy 2, but just go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. Look at verse 3. Now, I said there's another Jesus and there's another spirit. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come, and even now, already, it's in the world. Now notice the phrase, this spirit of Antichrist does not believe Jesus has come in the flesh. Now he didn't say here, now I know it reads a little different in the Greek, but he didn't say has come, or even shall come. Now we know Jesus has come in the flesh, back there, 2,000 years ago. And we know he'll come again from heaven. But he said here that this spirit is saying that Jesus has not come, is not come in the flesh. What are we talking about? We're talking about in you and in me. Look down a little further. Look down just a little further. Because he says in verse, what verse is it? Hallelujah. The greater ones come in. Where is that there? Okay, number 4. Thank you. I couldn't even see it. You have got little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's where? Than he that's in the
world.
Okay. They're saying Jesus is not come in the flesh. Now, there's a lot of people don't believe Jesus. There's a lot of people do not believe Jesus will come in us. They teach Jesus will come out there in the air, which I believe. And he will. He will. But if we don't believe Jesus will come in us, that's Antichrist. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus will come in us, and he will come in the air as well.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But then there are those who teach he will come in us, and he'll not come in the air. And that's wrong. He will come in us, and he will come in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Because I know of times I've heard of others who do not understand this Jesus coming in us now. They say, well, I'm saved, fill the Holy Ghost. Well, good. But how many know he come in today and he wants to come in tomorrow? Come on, the next day. Until he dwells totally in every part of us. And every part is emptied out. He's filled us up. Can you say amen? Be filled with the fullness of God. That's what I want to share on that, but I didn't get to get into that. Okay. So there's another Jesus, there's another Spirit, and there's another gospel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Look at one scripture. Galatians chapter 1. You know, brethren, the Bible talks about those who pervert the gospel. How many know they're spiritual perverters? As well as natural. And Paul said in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. Pretty strong, isn't it? Well, Paul got a hold of that in Thessalonians chapter 2, and he said, don't let anybody deceive you by three ways. By word, that which is preached. By spirit, which is an evil spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And by letter, even that which is written. You ever get that fan mail in the mail? That wants you all your dollars? Or, you know, they send holy rocks and prayer cloths for money and all that stuff. You know, put your feet right on my footprint, put your hand on my prints, and, you know, all that stuff. You just toss it right in the wastebasket. How many ever fill your wastebasket up pretty fast? Amen. Well, I certainly do. Hallelujah. Now, go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. No one of the postmen don't like to bring the mail always to your house. Chapter 13. There's so much junk mail flying around everywhere. Chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder. Boy, if some people get that, they'd really be happy, wouldn't they? Come on. And the sign and wonder come to pass, then they would really get happy. This has got to be God. Not always. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken or listen to that the words of that prophet or that dreamer dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. God lets this happen, doesn't he? God, why'd you let this happen? See what you're going to do. How many know God will prove you and me? Huh? You don't believe it? Turn to Judges chapter 2, I think it is. Turn to Judges. Go to Judges. I believe it's chapter 2. Yes. God will prove you. Chapter 2, verse 21. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them, those Canaanite nations, I may prove Israel. And God has left some enemy in your land and my land to prove us, to see what we're going to do about it. Amen? Hallelujah. And yet people don't believe in deliverance. How many know they're blind and can't hear? That through them I may prove Israel. How many know we're the Israel of God today, according to Galatians chapter, 6 or 5, somewhere through there? Whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as the fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. And God's left some enemies in our land. Amen. Now thank God we're getting rid of a few of them, aren't we? Amen. So God says back in chapter 13 that this prophet, this dreamer of dreams, God's going to allow that to happen to prove you, to prove me, to know whether you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Praise God. Amen? That is happening now. Not something happened back in Israel, just in Israel. It's happening 1993. Can you say amen? Now, turn to the New Testament. Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Do what, Mildred? Do what? Chapter 13, verse 11. Now, here we see the false prophet ministry rising in the earth. Now, he looks like a lamb, but he's got dragon breath. He speaks like a dragon. You ever bet anybody had dragon breath? Have you, Gene? I beheld another beast. Here's the second beast. Notice it's coming up out of the earth, out of the carnal realm. First one came out of the sea. He had two horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. And you can't always go by what you see, can you? Look at the next verse. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those what?
Miracles.
That's false miracles. Which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by sword, and did live. Now look in chapter 16 of Revelation. We're just showing you there's going to be false miracles at the end of this age. Chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. John said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. These are the perverted spirits. Uncleanness of all types. And he sees these frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, which is the devil. And I want you to notice that here's the false trinity. Out of the mouth of the dragon. Go back to Revelation 12 just a minute. Look in chapter 12. And we know God's bringing forth a man-child out of the woman here, out of the church. The man-child is called to the throne of God. The woman goes into the wilderness to be tested, into her place, into that place of testing. And in chapter 12, if you'll notice the last verse or two here, somewhere through here, it says in verse 15 that the serpent cast out of what? His mouth. Notice. Water as a flood after the woman. That is a flood of filth. He's going to cast out after this woman. How many know Jesus said when he speaks a lie? Lies come out of Satan's mouth. And this flood of water is a flood of filth that he might carry her word. But the earth, the carnal earth, the carnal ones helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood that the dragon cast out of his mouth. Back in chapter 16 now. It says here now, in chapter 16, frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of false prophets, for they are spirits of devils or demons. I mean, the devil's still speaking lies. False prophet. See, that's that false anointing. That's that one that does the false signs and miracles. He's still working too. Working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth. And of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Next verse. Behold, I come as a thief. So right before Jesus comes, and how many know that the only secret coming there is Jesus coming in you? When he comes in the air, everybody's going to know it. The only secret coming there is Jesus coming in you. I know they sing the song, you know, we'll all be gone, nobody know anything about it. That's a lie. That is not right. How many know some of these songs need to be cleaned up? Some of these songs are perverted and they're twisted, not according to the Word of God.
Amen.
I mean, the heart may be, intention might be right, but still, God's going to have to clean up some of the songs people sing. Amen. Now, he said here in this verse, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, lest you become a Laodicean Christian. And they see a shame. There's a shame in the natural, someone out here running around the naked, in naked or streakers. I mean, it's just as bad in the spirit if you're not clothed. Remember there was a guy who went into the wedding feast, didn't have a wedding garment on. You remember that? Matthew 22. That wasn't heaven. If that had been heaven, God would have had to throw him out of heaven. How many know God's not going to take you to heaven and throw you out? No, that's right here on the earth. He went in the feast. He did not have a wedding garment on. And they threw him out. God wants us to be clothed. Amen. Hallelujah. You know God's clothes? Look in Psalms 104. Let's see what God wears. Psalms 104. Look at verse. Yeah, change of raiment. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Hallelujah. God is clothed with majesty and honor, and he's clothed with light. God's putting his light upon us. You die tonight and go to heaven. How many know when you die, you'll be clothed? These old pictures on the wall of naked angels, God, how many know, God didn't give that painting to somebody. I don't believe any angel walk in here unclothed. Amen? No way I believe that. Then we go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, 20. And yet some of God's people, they don't know how to put their clothes on either sometimes. Chapter 19, verse 20. I think we need to dress the best, at least decent, in coming in the house of God. Don't you? I believe that. Chapter 19, verse 20. The beast was taken. And with him the false prophet that what? Wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had the mark of the beast. Well, I don't plan, by the grace of God, I don't plan on having the mark of the beast. I want God's mark.
Amen.
But, let's look at this now. Look in Revelation 15, what we've got to do. Look in 15. Look in Revelation 15, let's see what we've got to do. It says in verse 2, because we're talking about the plagues here, the wrath of God coming. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Fire speaks of testing. And them that had gotten the victory, and that's the word for overcomer, those that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, and they begin to cry out, truer are thy ways, thou King of saints. They're worshipers. Those that begin to learn to worship is going to overcome the beast. Can you hear that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look in chapter 14. Let's see another scripture here. Look in chapter 14. We want to look down. God warns us about those who would take the mark of the beast. Who worship the beast in verse 11 and take the mark. Verse 12, he said, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, that obey the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Notice three things. Three things. They've got patience. They're keeping his commandments. And how many know he said he'd love, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Me and the Father come in and make our abode or mansion with you. And then he said, you've got to have the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works are going to follow them. They would not bow to the beast system, even if it cost them their life. But they would keep his commandments. They would have patience from the Lord, endurance, and they would also have the faith of Jesus. Praise God. Somebody is overcoming the beast. Can you say amen? You go to Ezekiel 9, he's putting his mark upon God's intercessors, those that cry and sigh against the abominations in the midst. Hallelujah. And that word mark in Ezekiel 9 is one found over in Job. It's the word desire. And our desire must be towards God. If it is, God will mark you. I believe I got marked when I got saved. I believe I got marked when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But I believe God's still marking me as I grow up and get my soul saved. Come on, hear me. It's a progressive thing. It ain't over yet. Praise God. But it's working in me. Amen. And you, and in you. 2 Thessalonians 2. If you're tired tonight, just stand up and stretch and sit back down. Praise God. It won't hurt me at all. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. I know those chairs get hard, but we can endure to the end. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 8. Look at this now. And then shall that wicked be what? Revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, his parousia. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and what? Lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, here's why, they receive not the love of the truth. I mean, oh, none of us have all the truth, but we can receive the love of it, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, error, that they should believe a lie. But the word there should be the lie, that they should believe the lie. Four times in the Greek it says the lie. Here's one of them. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13, look at this now. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we said tonight there's going to be false Christ and false prophets. Now, turn to Leviticus 9. Look in chapter 9 of Leviticus. Praise you, Lord. Look in chapter 9. And look at verses 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. They saw it. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, consumed upon the altar, the burnt offering, the fat, which when all the people saw, notice, they shouted and fell on their faces. When the true fire comes, how many know there's going to be some shouting in the camp?
Amen.
And nobody's going to knock you down or push you down, brother. You'll go down.
Amen.
Under that power. Amen?
Amen?
And you might lay there for several hours or several days. Who knows? God's power is real, isn't it? I've seen the power hit people so hard it bounced the earrings off the ears. Nobody catches. I mean, they'd bounce like a ball in their earrings. How many know that power is real tonight? I've seen them hit concrete, never get hurt. Hit chairs, hit whatever. Never get hurt. I mean, if you're under the power of God, you ain't going to get hurt. But if it's you, you're going to might break your skull. Or me. Now, notice the true fire fell. Then look at chapter 10. Here's the false. It always follows the true. It's a counterfeit. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them censer and put fire therein, put incense thereof, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he what? Commanded them not. I'll tell you, it's dangerous to move, claiming to move in the anointing of God and moving in a false spirit. I say it's dangerous. And there went out fire from the Lord, devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And God said, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh. Before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. I'm sure that was very hard on Aaron. That was his sons that died under false fire. Amen? Now, I said God moves first, devil counterfeits it. Look in Revelation 6. I don't believe chapter 6 is the Antichrist, like some teach. The white horse. Hallelujah. He went forth. You know why? Because this white horse went forth conquering and to conquer. I mean, the Word of God will conquer everything. That white horse represents the gospel of Christ going forth. And it goes forth first. It conquers every foe. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory. That is not Antichrist. That is the Christ through his vessels conquering every foe. Look in chapter 19 if you don't believe it's a white horse. White horses of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at it here. How many know you interpret Scripture? Yes, you do. Chapter 19, verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it was called Faithful and True in Righteousness. He doth judge and make war. His eyes, like a flame of fire on his head, were many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture. That's what Brother Chuck dealt with the other night, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. His armies that were in heaven followed him up on what kind of horses? White horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. These are the army of God. Hallelujah. That white horse is the gospel of Christ. But notice after that white horse back in chapter 6, there comes a red horse. I mean, no, that's blood. That's communism. That's war. Then you got famine. Then you got death and hell and so forth. It comes after. So when God moves, the devil moves. How many's ever seen a revival come in? God begin to bless and move, and then after a while something happens and the devil comes and tears the thing up. I mean, on this last day, great move. I heard a man, a prophet one time, he had a vision of this great move of God, and he saw God's people locked in this big fence, a big lock on it, and all of a sudden the lock was unlocked and the doors was open, and God's people rushed out, and there was a mighty move of God. He saw the devil and he saw Jesus heading him off. Hallelujah. He said, God's going to head him off in this last day. He's not going to get in and make denominations of this move of God that's coming.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. God's going to head the devil off. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he's going to put him down in the pit. And then in the fire later. Amen. Look in Acts 4. I want to just show you. I'm showing you a principle. God dealt with me to show you this tonight. Acts 4. Here's another principle. Chapter 4. The way God moves. Chapter 4, verse 32. 4:32. Here it tells about the multitude as one heart and one soul. Verse 32. Verse 33. The great grace of God was upon them. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. When God moves, how many know everybody's needs met? Come on, help me now. There were possessors of lands or houses, sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Every need was met. Everyone obeyed the Holy Ghost without any pull, tugging, and you know, pleading and begging. God moved, didn't he? Come on. And even here's a man named Barnabas. He does the same thing. He sells everything, lays it down at the apostles' feet. But in chapter 5, there's two others. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira. They claimed to sell all their property and sell it for so much money. And they said, this is all of it. And Peter said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. The enemy come in immediately and counterfeit what God's people had just done. Can you say amen? He's still doing it in some places. But God's going to expose him. You know, Jesus said one time to Satan, get behind me. That literally means follow behind me. I mean, you know, he's really saying, I'm going first. I'll allow you to come behind. He does. You know when God's trumpet sounds? You know when God's trumpet sounds? The devil's permitted to sound his trumpets too. Are you hearing me? Certainly. But we better be discerning and know which trumpet to hear. Isn't that right? You know, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A few verses down, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Same man, same voice, but yet the enemy used him. Come on, help me now. Go to Exodus chapter 16. The 16. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 16. Look at verse 15. God's telling the people to go out and gather the manna. And then down in verse 31, he tells what the manna was like. Coriander seed, it was white. The taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, Jesus is the true manna that came down from heaven. That's the incarnation. He is that manna. Then we come down to chapter 17. And notice verse 6. He tells Moses to smite the rock. That's the crucifixion. And when the rock was smitten, water came out of it. That's Pentecost. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, because of Calvary, we have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our life. Are you hearing me? But notice after the water flowed out and the water came, verse 8, there come an enemy called Amalek, which is the flesh. Amen. How many got saved and filled the Holy Ghost and found out you still had flesh to deal with? You know it. You know it. And we do every day, don't we? Paul said, I die daily. We have to die daily. Amen. And so the enemy came out. And this Amalek, the Bible said in the Amplified, I believe it said, his hand was against the throne. The throne is where God is. It is God's government. It is God's authority. And it's God's rulership. I want to tell you, the flesh hates God. I said, the flesh hates God. It's enmity with God. Amen. Which means it's hostile against God. That's in you and I daily. Amen. Acts, it means antagonistic. Those who want to walk in the Spirit compared to those who want to walk in the flesh. There's a warfare taking place. Somebody's going to win that war. Whoever we yield to. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's go a little further here now. A few more things here real quick. Turn to Isaiah 7. Let's see some real signs though. We looked at the false. Let's see some true. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and notice, she's going to bear this sign. Hallelujah. She's going to bear a son. Well, she's a sign too. and shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Chapter 8, verse 6. Chapter 8, I believe it's chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verses 18. Excuse me. Notice what God says here. Behold I, that's God, and the children. God's got some children. I'm going to show you who those children are in just a minute. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me for signs and for wonders, where? In Israel. That's the church today to us. From the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. So God says, I and the children are for signs and wonders. Now, if you go over to verse 6, we're talking about this child, which is Jesus, of chapter 9:6. Unto us a child is born. How many know that's Bethlehem? And unto us a son is given. That's the Jordan River. He's a baby, and then he's 30 years of age. Many adore the child, but they ignore the man, don't they? And how many know the government's going to be on his shoulder? He is the sign. He was the sign man. He was the wonder. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Thank God. And yet he's raising the people that's going to be for signs and wonders. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Notice what it says. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them somebody. Brethren. Everybody hear that? Next verse. He's talking about the brethren now. He's talking about the sons, next verse, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He's still singing in the midst of his church, to you and me. And now notice, he's quoting here from Isaiah. Again, I will put my trust in him. Again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. And remember, they're for signs and wonders. And then he mentions the brethren, verse 17. Go to Romans 8:29. Hallelujah. Romans 8:29. He's raising up some children. Amen. Calls them sons too. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now I want to show you that those children in Luke. Turn to Luke. Look in chapter 11. Let's look at these children here. Hallelujah. Three or four more scriptures will be done. Hopefully. You say 2 hours? Luke 11. I know Bill's got to get his rest tonight. I better not go too long. Luke 11, verse 5. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend? How many know Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother? I'm telling you, he's our friend tonight and our Savior. And shall go to him at midnight, the darkest hour, tribulation, and say to him, friend, how many know we better know this friend at midnight?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Spirit, soul, come on. Body, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles.
Yes.
30, 60, 100. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? For he from within shall... Now notice, here's somebody on the inside now, this door... He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Don't bother me. The door is now shut. It's been slammed tight. Spiritual door, not a natural door. And my children, glory. Those children that are signs and wonders, those brethren, those sons, they're with me in bed. Oh, hallelujah. Not with the world. Not with the harlot system. In bed with Jesus. There's a place of rest and intimacy with Jesus. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And that means the door's going to swing open to somebody else. Hallelujah. He's going to nourish and feed them too. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to use those children. Revelation 12, 5. The man shall call to the throne and feeds and ministers to the woman in the wilderness. I mean, no, that's not just beans and potatoes, but that's the word of the living God. They're going to minister back to her and feed her and nourish her and get her ready for his coming. Go to Zechariah 3 now. We're coming on down towards the close. I guess you've heard many a preacher say that. Zechariah 3. Zechariah 3. It's a lot I won't go into here, but I'll tell you, somebody's getting new clothes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're getting a miter on the head. They're getting new garments.
Yes.
There's an order here. There's so much I can't get into tonight. But God's going to clothe this one with a change of raiment. And he said in verse 5, let them, so somebody's doing this, let them set a fair miter upon his head, which speaks of the mind of Christ. So they set a fair miter upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested to Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt judge my house. I want you to know there's two conditions, walk and keep. And thou shalt keep my courts, and I'll give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. You see that? Actually, men, wonder men. Okay? Or that's a state of being. They're the sign men. Hallelujah. That's to come. For behold, I will bring forth, he said as well, my servant, the branch. I believe, first of all, that's fulfilled in Jesus, and I believe it's fulfilled as well in the end time people. Then he talked about the stone where the seven eyes are. How many know that's the fullness of revelation?
Yes, hallelujah.
You know, of inside perception, discernment the Lord has, which is being poured out in the earth. There's so much there. Now look at Ezekiel 24. Ezekiel 24 and verse 27. 24, 27. 24, 27, in that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped. Do you hear that? In that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped. How many know God wants to open his mouth to you and I? That's a rhema word. As well as you and I speaking. Thou shalt speak and be no more dumb. Hallelujah. And thou shalt be a sign, Ezekiel, to them. Ezekiel, you'll be a sign to them, and notice, and they shall know that I am the Lord. If you become a sign, how many know you're going to put people to the Lord?
Yes.
People's going to know the Lord if you become a sign, and you become a wonder. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's close with this, Matthew 24. We know the church in Revelation 12:1 is a sign. Told the sun, the moon's under her feet. And John said she's a sign. Matthew 24, I just want to close with this scripture tonight. Praise the Lord. 24, verse 3, I believe it is, or verse, let's see. Let's see. Verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answers way down in the chapter, go down to verse 29. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together, oh, hallelujah, his elect. Notice, from one end of heaven to the other.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now, I close with that, but I want to tell you five things. I want to tell you several things. No more scriptures. Praise God. Number one, listen to this now. Those who are taking notes, beware that the enemy does not seduce you into passivity. Beware the enemy does not seduce you into passivity. How many know that's out of action?
Yeah.
If he gets you out of action, he's got you.
Yeah.
Number two, beware of those who call for your mind to be brought into total subjection to them or to some group. Think about David Koresh. David Koresh, Jim Jones. Three, be careful who counsels you. Because sometimes the conversation shifts to the counselor, how wise he or she is, or how wonderful he or she is. And, you know, I can get all my answers from my counselor. What if they get called out of town or go on vacation? Number four, beware of those who teach the leader alone can hear the voice of God. Now, I believe leaders hear the voice of God, but I want to tell you, God speaks to you too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it can be confirmed by others, of course. You have to be careful. You can't believe every voice and every spirit. You gotta have some discernment. There's a lot of voices in the world, isn't that right?
Amen.
Praise God. So we have to beware of that. Now, beware of those who, beware of those who teach the leader alone can hear the voice of God. What if the leader falls from grace? Who's gonna, you know, hear God for you then? Number five, beware of those who seek to control the private lives of the people and in all details of that private life. God is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He never drives. Amen. He leads. Now, if somebody comes to you with a word of the Lord, with a word of knowledge or prophetic word or whatever, number one, does it exhort, edify, and comfort you? Number one. Number two, does it agree with the word? You just have to get these off the tape. Does it agree with the word of God? Number three, does it exalt Jesus? Number four, does it produce fruit and character of the Holy Spirit? Number five, does it come to pass? Number six, does it produce liberty or bondage? Number seven, does it lead you to God or away from God? Number eight, does it inject fresh life into you and into your heart? Number nine, what does my inner man tell me? Is there a witness of what's being said to me? Number ten, does it stir you up to believe God or does it produce fear? You get all that down, Bernadine. Praise the Lord. Glenn got it. Praise the Lord. Glenn got it on tape. Amen. Well, let's stand. Amen. It's a serious time. We cannot believe every spirit, brethren. There are many wicked spirits that want to minister to your mind. You've got to be aware of that. You've got to have discerning. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now for each one of us that you would impart to us the discerning power of the Holy Ghost in this hour. Keep us and protect us from the wicked one. Lord, that you preserve our hearts and our minds, that you would give us, Lord, that ability to know how to try the spirits, to see whether they be of God or not.
Amen.
Give us wisdom, Father. Give us understanding, we pray. Let us not move just in haste. Lord, if there's a spirit prodding us to move hurriedly and quickly, let us, Lord, back off and until we know for sure what type of spirit that would be, Lord. Give us, Lord God, contentment in our inner man. Help us not move out of our flesh. Help us not move out of ourselves to do anything. And Lord, I just ask you to guard the minds of the people here, those that go back to the churches, back to the homes, or wherever. I just ask your protection to be upon them. Guard them from the wolves. Guard them from the false anointing. Guard them from the false prophets. Guard them from the wolves, the savages, Lord, out there. Guard them, Lord, from those spirits, I pray. And give them discernment. Help them to study the Word, to get in this book, and to get the book in them, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Where's Sister Irma? Irma, I just feel tonight the Lord wants to encourage you tonight in the Lord. His hand is reaching out to you. And the Lord said, I'm increasing my discerning power within you. And I'm opening your eyes and I'm going to show you things yet to come in the night season. And so God says, be still and know that I am God. For my hand is upon you and I'm reaching out to you. And I'm pouring in strength tonight into your vessel, into your body. And the Lord is quickening you. And God has heard your cry. He's heard you in your affliction. And know that God shall answer you. And because of your prayers, God says, many shall be set free. Because of your obedience, saith the Lord, I will speak to others and I will comfort others because you've stood in the gap for them, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This sister right here in the black, praise the Lord. The Lord's hand's reaching out to you. He's touching your inward man. He's touching your eyes as well, your physical eyes. Father, I just pray for our physical eyes. And I just pray, Lord, that you would touch her right now and that you would just heal her physical eyes. But more than that, I pray you'll touch her inner man. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit will go through her inner man and just clear out anything in there, Lord, that she needs not, Lord, just tonight. Impart your life and strength to her and your love, Lord, and your wisdom. Oh, yes. And the Lord's touching your Not just your physical ears, but He's given your ear to hear tonight what the Spirit is saying to you and to the church. So the Lord said, receive it and be glad and know that He has visited thee and that the Lord has caused you to rejoice and the Lord causes you to dance before Him and to overcome those obstacles that have stood in your way. And God said, I'm going to remove them and there's going to be joy anew and afresh in your camp, said the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's praise our God. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Mildred, the Lord is with you tonight. And the Lord puts a gold chain upon your neck. And He puts a bracelet upon your arm. And He puts His ring, His authority upon your hand. And He's clothing you. And He's putting His shoes upon your feet. And God's going to direct your direction in this hour. And it's going to be a new walk, saith the Lord. There's coming a new direction from the Holy Ghost. And God's going to launch you out more than where you've been. And because where you've been has just been training ground. But God said, now it's time to start launching out to other places. And there's going to be a visitation from the Lord in your life. And you're going to know what God is saying because you will obey when I speak to your heart, saith the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him tonight. Come on, let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Our little sister in the green back here, standing back here, the Lord has heard your cry as well. God has seen your affliction. And God has seen the turmoil. But God says, I'm removing the mountain. I'm taking the rubbish out of the way. And the vision shall be made clear. And you'll be able to walk in the way God's showing you. And your husband shall stand at your side. And there shall be joy. And the Lord said that you're going to be given the ministry of deliverance. And I'm going to speak some intimate things to you. And He says, study to show yourself approved. And as I put my wisdom in you, you'll move in that ministry of deliverance, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him tonight. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Where's Linda? Is she back there? Linda back there? Linda, I hear the Lord saying, be encouraged tonight. Be strengthened with His might and with His power tonight. For my hand is reaching out to you, Linda. And God's going to encourage you on your trip back. He's going to touch you. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I hear Him saying He's going to touch you, and encouragement's coming to your inner man. I'm going to touch your heart, your spirit, saith the Lord, and I'm going to drive out some things and put something in you, so rejoice and know God's at work. Hallelujah. God's at work. God's at work. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise tonight. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many I'm not going to call you, but how many has been under someone that had a wrong spirit, had a wrong anointing or something, false? Just raise your hands. Father, we lift them up right now. And when I come against this spirit, if you feel something coming out, let her go, brother. Get your deliverance tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against every stronghold in your people here. Every false spirit, every false anointing that they've been under, Lord. Any direction that's been from the enemy over their lives, I break its power right now. I come against you, false anointing spirit. You false prophet spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, you controlling, dominating spirit. Loose the people of God. Come out of them in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against the controlling Jezebel spirit in the name of Jesus. Loose them in the Jesus. Take a deep breath, brethren. Let them go. Come on, let it go. If you've been under that thing, let it go. In the name of Jesus. Loose her. Loose her in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on, call it out. Let her go. In the mighty name of Jesus. I command it to loose the people of God here tonight in Jesus' name. Everything that's false, loose them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, Lord, put in them, Lord, that true anointing in this hour. Fill them up with the anointing of God. And give them discernment from the Holy Ghost. To know right from wrong, error and truth, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doc, God's encouraging you tonight as well. Hallelujah. I appreciate Doc, don't you? Amen. God's just going to do something for you, Doc. Something powerful. Hallelujah. That anointing's going to increase in your life. Oh, glory. Praise you, Jesus. Inner man's going to be enlightened as never before. Feet's going to walk in some new directions. More joy in the camp. enlightenment. And the Word's going to speak to you. Hallelujah. As it has. Amen. Praise God. Let's close tonight. Praise God. I've enjoyed tonight. It's been good. May the Lord bless. Tomorrow's another day. Amen?
Amen.
Get a good night's rest and we'll be refreshed tomorrow. Father, we thank you. We thank you tonight that you're in the midst of us. That you're speaking to us, Lord. So, Lord, as the people go their way tonight, give them a good night's rest. And bring us back tomorrow to serve the Lord and to hear what God's saying in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless. Praise God. We love you and appreciate you.
You can have a song in your heart even now. After every mile, after every mile, anyone can think when that sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart.
Joy will come in the morning.
You can have a song in your heart.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.